The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and barflies Jason Aval and Dave Draper discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the
Crazy Kings of Toys!
This is Dave and Aval's Toys and Collectibles.
And welcome to an all-new edition of Dave and, sort of, Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you each and every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys, www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Well, Duvall is in Disney World. Boo. Not Boo Disney World, Boo Duvall. So I'm joined this week by the one, the only, Pixel Dan Erdley.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Not
Dude,
much.
Dude, you are like, not only are you getting questions now on the fan thing, but you're getting like epic. You're getting Oz questions.
Epic Oz questions?
You're like, we're gonna have time to kill. Like that's gonna fill up, I think, a chunk of the show.
Just fan questions? Just All right, questions. That's cool with me.
Which is funny because, like, of course, Jason's not here for, like, and we have like a ton of them. But before we get to that, there's a couple things to talk about. There's not a lot of huge news going on, but there's a couple of things which we were kind of shooting about before we started recording.
Yeah.
One not necessarily toy related, although you know there'll be toys, is they announced a new series for Star Wars.
Yes.
Which which we are both really excited about.
Yes.
It's called Rebels.
Rebels is what, at least that's what it is right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
it's
that a like tentative. A, yeah.
Yeah, a tentative title. Yeah.
And takes place between 3 and 4, which is, I think, like the best time period you could do for this kind of show right now.
Yeah, absolutely, because we don't really have anything that takes place between those time periods. At least nothing like official. Right?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a book out.
Books and stuff, but.
And there's comics. There is comics.
With Disney kind of. Obviously shifting the direction to more of the original trilogy
I'm surprised.
Stuff.
Well, even original trilogy, I'm surprised, like, that they're doing that. I would think it would be all about the new, you know, 7.
Yeah, like after Jedi.
Yeah.
Leading up to 7. I don't know, maybe they'll do something like that, too.
But, yeah, but
it's still cool that we're finally getting that gap bridged between,
yeah.
You know, because there's a long time period between
Yeah, it's like 17 years.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I'm actually really excited
and
about
And it's most, I don't know if it's most, but there are a lot of the people who worked on Clone Wars, including Dave, let's go up his name, Filoni, is going to be working on it, which is cool, because I really like Clone Wars. I felt it went on, I wish it had gotten a proper ending, but I do think that they kind of went on maybe a season or two too long.
Like, yeah.
They should have wrapped it up.
They kind of got to a point where there was a lot of, like, filler episodes and weird filler story arcs that were just totally uninteresting. Like, everybody talks about that stupid droid mission story arc that just felt like it dragged on forever.
And there was a whole thing with the little Padawans. It's like, oh, look at the adorable little kids that are going to be butchered one day.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. But, I mean, there were so many things in this most recent season that were really good. It was just like you had to sit through all this other stuff in between the really cool stuff, so... Yeah, I do kind of wish they probably could have ended it sooner, and I do wish it would have got a proper ending.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I am bummed about is, you know, because I guess they're going to release some stuff, because they were working on the next season.
Yeah.
But they've already said that we didn't get far enough to tie everything up.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
stinks.
The one question that I always cared about from the start was Ahsoka.
Exactly, yeah,
like,
what happens to her?
Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll be in Rebels.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
Maybe she would be.
Because they say that Rebels is going to include Vader hunting down the Jedi.
Oh, nice.
So that would be like...
Oh, yeah, that's what's going to be great about that cartoon is we'll actually have Vader and not Anakin. Woo!
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that till just now. I don't know why, but that's exciting right there. That's exciting right there, just
well,
to have
I like,
Vader.
You know, the thing I like about Clone Wars is Anakin was the Anakin that you always imagine... I mean, this is going to sound dumb, but he was like what you always imagine Anakin would be.
Yeah.
Because he was cool, and he was kind of badass, and he was, you know... You know, he was a good hero and a fighter and smart. I mean, he was reckless sometimes, but he was cool.
Right.
Like, as opposed to movie Anakin, who was, you know, I don't like sand. Sand is coarse and irritating.
And another thing about Anakin, too, is, like, you can kind of tell towards the end there, they were starting to do more of the whole battling with his emotions kind of thing. And it was starting to get real exciting because you were witnessing the downfall of Anakin Skywalker slowly but surely. It was starting to happen,
yeah,
and that was really exciting. Yeah.
So, that's something to look forward to. And as I said, that you know there'll be toys. They might not be particularly good ones.
Well, we'll see.
The way Hasbro's going.
I wonder if the animation style is going to be similar to Clone Wars, or if they're going to do something completely new.
I don't know. That's also interesting, because as I understand it, Lucas pushed for that style really hard.
Really?
That was one of Lucas's brainchilds. So maybe with Lucas gone, we'll have something a little more realistic looking.
And I assume they'll probably still do CGI animation.
Yeah, I would imagine, because it's the cheapest way to go these days.
Cool. I'm excited. I am excited for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I am too. Another thing that I'm not as excited, I know a lot of people are, though, I'm looking forward to it, though, is Batman Arkham Origins. We just got the trailer. I'm a huge fan of the Arkham series. I love both Asylum and City. Although I didn't play City right away. I got it. I got a PlayStation, basically partly so it would play Blu-ray, and partly just to get those games.
Those games, yeah.
And I never got around to playing City. And then Cherry and the boy were down here one weekend for Dark Knight Rises, and he just played Arkham City like all weekend long.
Awesome.
Like, we got back from Dark Knight Rises at like 2 a.m, and all he wanted to do was go back and play it. And I'm like, this is really neat. The minute he was gone, I was like, I'm gonna play now. I'm ready to play. So yeah, I love those games.
Me
and
too.
Of course, it was Kevin Conroy, and Mark Hamill's not coming back for this third game, which stinks.
Neither is Conroy, right?
I don't know about that.
There's been some really weird back and forth about Conroy, because there were two stories posted today that I saw on Superhero Hype, I think.
Okay.
Where one story was like, it's confirmed Conroy is going to be Batman in this game. And then literally a few hours later, they were like, our bad, we were wrong. Here's the list of all the actors. And as you can see, Kevin Conroy's not listed as Batman.
Yeah.
But there's some kind of weird thing where, like, he apparently just said at a convention, like, last weekend that he was recording for that game. So now there's just all this really weird miscommunication. Like, why would he say that if he's not actually in the game?
Well, maybe he's not Batman. Maybe he's Thomas Wayne in a flashback or something.
Yeah, and that's what people are kind of speculating, because this game's a prequel.
It is a prequel.
It's like a younger Batman.
It's a younger Batman. It's like he's just starting out.
Mm-hmm. So people have speculated, well, maybe it's like Conroy's going to be older Batman narrating, reflecting back on younger Batman, or maybe it's something like you said. Maybe he's going to be Thomas Wayne, or you know.
No, I could see like a How I Met Your Mother thing, where like even though like your voice doesn't change that much, they still have a different actor narrating.
Have ever told you how I met your arch villain Joker?
How I Met Your Joker. See, I wish the game was that, but I think the Joker's not going to be that big in the game. It's looking like they're pushing Black Mask and Black Mask, Deadshot, and Deathstroke.
That's cool.
The trailer they show is a big fight between Batman and Deathstroke, and then Deadshot's like, no, he's my bounty, and like interferes.
Oh, neat. Yeah, and I did read the stuff that they were saying Black Mask was probably going to be like the big bad or something.
Yeah,
it seems
like he is from the trailer.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited.
So and apparently it's going to be even more. I know a lot of people did not like the open world from Arkham City. They like that more tight focus of Asylum.
Yeah.
I love open world games.
Too.
Like, I was playing Saints Row 2, and the whole time I'm like, oh, I wish they would just do, like, a Batman game like this, where you can drive the Batmobile through the city,
or fly the
Batcopter through the city, and it's just filled with all these, like, you know, little randomly generated, you know, street people, oh, I would love a game like that. And so this one's supposed to be more open world.
Cool.
So I'm like, I'm excited about. There's pluses and minuses with this game. I don't like that Dini's not involved. I'm going to miss Hamill. It's a different company making it, technically.
Yeah, Rocksteady's not involved.
I
guess they're using the same game mechanics.
It's Warner Brothers Montreal or something, and they did the Wii port, I think, for Arkham Asylum.
Oh, okay.
But it will be the same mechanics. So long as I can hang upside down from a gargoyle and grab somebody.
Right,
man.
Right,
that's all.
Isn't that exciting?
That's the best thing ever.
The stealth stuff is some of my favorite things in those games. When you get to come into those rooms where there's just guys everywhere, and you get to
swing around the gargoyles
and find all the different unique ways to knock them out.
I know.
I love that.
I love those games.
Yeah, I'm excited. I will play it.
So, I think we talked about, speaking of Batman, DC announced some of its Comic-Con exclusives.
Yeah, DC Collectibles.
Because they're not Hasbro.
Right, right.
Who are still going, what's a Comic-Con? We cannot confirm or deny.
Yeah, what is going on with that? That is so weird.
We cannot confirm or deny that there is a Comic-Con, or that we make toys. Or we do, however, have a presentation for our G.I. Joe line. that we need to dust off a little, but if you loved it at JoeCon or Toy Fair,
you're going to love it at
Comic-Con. You're going to love it again. But anyway, so anyway, a company that actually does want people to be excited for their product, because they will be able to buy it, is DC Direct. So we got Arkham City.
Hugo Strange. Hugo Strange. Yep.
I can see him in his little lab coat and his little Amish beard, and I'm like totally blanking.
Yeah.
which is cool because it occurred to me, he really is kind of the one missing from that whole
series. Yeah, and he's sort of like the...
Yeah, he's kind of
like the big bad in that second game.
Yeah, he's Darth Vader to somebody else's Emperor.
Exactly.
No spoilers for a game that's been out 2 years.
I was going to say, at this point, it's your own fault if it's a spoiler.
But. Yeah.
It is kind of cool that they're making them, and I really like that line of figures. Like,
yeah, I do too. I have a bunch of them.
I do too, and mostly just because I really like the style.
I love the designs. I do love the designs.
So I wanted to get plastic representations of all those styles. So I did start collecting that line pretty heavy, but they got real expensive.
I know.
Like out of nowhere, they're just like, oh, the prices are way higher now. Sorry, everybody. And,
well, there's that, and then like DC Direct seems like it's one of those things like you have to get it when it hits.
Yeah.
Or you never get another shot at it.
You never get it, yeah.
Yeah, it's been like that for about 4 years now.
Because they came out with those deluxe figures, the large-scale ones, and they are real pricey.
I do have the Joker.
Because you've got that Joker from the first game. Because they also did, Mr. Freeze was one of their deluxe figures.
Yeah.
And he was, like, a $75 figure. And who else was in that series?
I think they've done Bane.
Was
and they've
it
done
Bane?
Killer Croc.
No, Bane was a regular-scale figure.
Oh, he was, yeah. They've done Killer Croc, though, and they've done...
Killer Croc, yep.
I thought there was another one.
I think there was another one, too. I'm trying to remember who it
was. Oh, Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy was the other one, yeah. And it's cool. They're still making those, too, because just last week, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but they announced those new two packs that are coming out. They got, like, Harley Quinn.
No, we missed that. I think that we just missed it. Harley Quinn, like, the two Russian guys.
Yeah, like the one-armed thugs, the big thugs. I thought that was kind of cool, actually. So, I've kind of fallen off the bandwagon on buying those just because they got kind of expensive and hard to get, but... I don't know. I might go ahead and pick up Hugo Strange if I get a chance to. I think he's like $30, though, which
Comic-Con exclusive,
you know. Yeah, that's about the going
rate. He's kind of the big bad from the game, so he's a cool one to have.
Exactly. Yeah. And then a lot of their other exclusives were based on the DC shorts that are on the DC Mornings or whatever it is.
DC Nation.
DC Nation. Yeah.
On Cartoon Network.
So they have the Aardman.
The Aardman Superman.
Because they just had Batman and Robin at C2E2.
Yeah.
Which it looked like they had those in, like, abundance, too. Did you walk
by
there?
Yeah, I walked by there, yeah.
I wonder if they're still available anywhere, because they have tons of those. I don't know if anybody was buying them.
It's a very, I'd like to get them, but it's very specialized.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. And I'm kind of the same way. It's one of those things where I look at them and I go, well, those would kind of be neat to have, but I'm not exactly, like, you know, chomping at the bit to go out and buy them.
Yeah, and, like, if you buy, like, an Arkham... You know, if you buy one of the other ones, like an Arkham City something, you can put that with your other figures.
Right.
Where the Aardman stuff is very, it's got to be by itself.
Right.
Or, you know, it doesn't
its
really fit
thing.
In. Yeah, it's
its
own thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still kind of funny. Like, he comes with a cookie.
Yeah. I'm sure that's from
that's
one of the
his
shorts.
Accessory. He's got a cookie. And I thought that was kind of funny. And then what was the other one?
The little Super Best Friends.
Super Best Friends Forever, which is like the Batgirl, Supergirl, and... is it Wonder Girl?
I really didn't see that one. So
yeah, and it looks just kind of like a statue, and it's based on one of those shorts where it's the three of them just kind of running around, and they're very like uniquely designed. You know, like the Wonder Girl's like super skinny, and then the Supergirl for whatever reason's got like super strong thighs, like her legs are huge compared to the rest of her body. It's really weird. I don't think they're articulated. They're just
little.
Yeah,
there's
like a base, and they all
PVC
stand on
figures
the base.
Or something. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool for anybody that likes those. But, I don't know, the Hugo Strange is the only thing I'm like, I might buy that.
Yeah, I'm kind of, like, interested in that. All right, well, speaking of shows, see, I can do segues.
There you go.
Professional podcasting.
You are professional.
At its finest. We were just at one this weekend, the Toy Man Show, down in St. Louis.
Toy Show.
And we, for once, we were on the other side of the table. We were set up to sell, not to buy.
That's right. Kind of our first experience really doing this ourselves.
Yeah.
So it was really fun actually getting to do that.
Yeah, it was neat. I mean, I think both of us were kind of like at some point because we did really well.
Mm-hmm. We did,
all things considered, and it was like it was more fun. It was like, wow, money's coming in. I kind of don't want to go buy stuff. I want to leave here, like, with money in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's how we were both feeling, because I did finally kind of go walk around.
Oh,
at
yeah,
some
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
We both did.
We
waited a while, and then eventually we were like, well, let's go walk around and see if there's anything. But there was just really nothing that, like, jumped out at me enough to make me, like, want to spend the money that I have just been making, you know? And I think I walked out of there only spending, like, $30 out of,
you spent
know?
A little bit more than that, but, like...
Not like but, regular toy show, like,
No. Well, yeah. And I walked out with, like, money in my... Because I think most of my money, I spent, like, probably half of what I spent on stuff that you were pulling out of your thing, so...
I know. Yeah, that's
Like, sitting right here on my bookcases, there was this Marvel Legends Hulk from the second movie, and, like, I always wanted to get it, and I never got it, and, like, it's one of those things that's always... It's not at the top of my list, but it's, like, you know...
Yeah.
As the top of the list gets knocked down, it's always on the list, though.
Mm-hmm.
You pulled that out, and I'm like, how much you want for that? I will take it right now.
Yeah. Yep. And that's just one of those things that I've had since that movie came out. And I was, when I got the new Avengers one, I was like, I don't really think I need two of these, so I'll just take this one and sell it.
Yeah.
Now it's in Dave's collection, which I'm happy about. At least
yeah,
to...
it's got a good home.
Exactly.
It has plenty of other Hulks to play with.
But that's kind of one of the things we joked about. Like, you even said, like, you were wondering how much stuff was actually just going to get traded between
back
the two
and forth.
Of us.
Yeah.
Once we started unloading everything and putting it out. And we did a little bit. I bought some of your definitely.
Oh, I was so happy about that. There were like three things that I wanted not to take home, and that was one of them. Was I had like a bin of like the weren't they like McDonald's? Were they sold on stores or were they fast food premium?
The little dinosaurs. They were. I think those were fast food premiums. The
yeah.
little ones.
The little ones were, and then like, there were a bunch of cavesters in that bin too.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to take that home. I don't want to take the Fisher Price vehicles home, which I ended up doing.
Nah.
Yeah. I can't remember what the third thing was, but there were a couple of things that I like because the point was we actually like just. Instead of, like, investing in things, we just cleaned out.
Right.
I mean, it was a double win for us because
right.
we were just cleaning out stuff. We were getting rid of junk and making space.
Right, yeah.
So it was like every dollar we made was, you know, we may not have recouped our initial investment, but I think, I'm speaking for me here, it was like, you know, this thing was just going to sit in my closet.
Exactly.
So it's like any dollar I make is gravy.
Exactly, yeah. Neither one of us were going there to... really make
a profit, yeah.
Profit.
Make a living.
Exactly. As much as we were just trying to get rid of stuff that we didn't really need anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, most of my stuff has been sitting in totes for years. I haven't looked at it in years. And it's just like, this might as well be going to somebody.
Exactly.
Who wants it or needs it or something like that. So yeah, I think definitely in that aspect, we both won huge. Because
yeah.
not only did we clear out stuff that we didn't need anymore, but we did end up taking home a little bit of money.
Oh, yeah.
And that was awesome because I wasn't expecting to really... I didn't know what to expect out of this.
Yeah, I didn't
you know?
Either. I
was
really
like,
didn't.
Because you mentioned wanting to try it, and I went home that night, and I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. I've been needing to clean my stuff out. Maybe I will try this, too. We'll see what happens. And I was pleasantly surprised. With
oh, yeah. You had, like, the big... Because your thing was you brought these two totes filled with Power of the Force figures.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
others, like, other Star Wars figures, but, like, just, you know, kind of the stuff that nobody wants.
Yes.
You had these totes set in front of the table, and it was like, you know... $2 a figure, rummage
through
$2
a figure, yep.
And this one woman, and I've seen her, she's always at every Toy Man, and she's at other shows. She's at King County, and she was at JoeCon.
Yep.
And she actually came up to me and said, oh, it's weird to see you at the other side of the table. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's weird for me to be on the other side of the table. And she asked, you know, how much do you want for all these Star Wars figures? And I'm like, well, they're not mine, and you were talking to a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're having this, you know, fans would come up and you'd have these conversations, and you know, it was kind of going on and on, and, you know, obviously, you know, you want to be good with your fans, and it's cool
right.
to talk to them. But finally, I was like, okay, I got to, like, he's going to want to know this. So I was like, dude, I don't mean to interrupt. I don't mean to be a jerk. You want to take this call. You definitely want to take this call.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really cool.
I didn't want her, like, wandering off and, like...
Yeah,
know,
like I didn't want to wait anymore
yeah.
or something. And yeah, so what I ended up doing was, because we had even joked about this. I don't remember if it was even on the podcast or not, but I talked about... trying to sell my Power of the Force
yeah.
figures or something. We've talked about this many times before. How?
Well, and I didn't even bother. I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
oh, I wish I'd brought all my stuff. I figured they would be like, you give it away free with each purchase.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Well, and, like, I was getting, like, it's funny, like, you can ask Christina, because I was getting mad while I was going through those totes. Because I'm sitting there, and I'm pulling out all these figures, and I'm just like, What was wrong with me that I thought that I had to buy doubles and triples of all these stupid figures? Like, I don't understand, because I'm pulling all these figures out, and I'm like, I know I've got all these figures open downstairs.
Yeah.
Why do I also have carded versions of all these stupid Episode 1 and Episode 2 and Power of the Force figures? Like, nobody's going to buy these. Nobody wants these toys anymore. They don't go for anything. And so I came with, like, four totes. It was like 3.5 totes that was nothing but Star Wars stuff.
Oh, jeez.
And then another tote that was just all my other random things. And I think we counted that there was probably around 80 figures total carded.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I was just like, I'll just throw $2 a piece on them. I'll probably end up taking all these home with me. But let's see what happens. And then, yeah, like in the morning, a couple people rummaged through them. And
yeah,
I sold
a couple
like,
people, yeah.
I sold like 4 or 5 individual figures. But then, yeah, you told that lady came up and you were like, you need to talk to her.
Yeah.
You need to talk to her. And so, and she was just like, how much you want for all these figures? And I was like, all of them? You want to buy them all? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, and I pulled one of the totes up and I kind of did a quick count to see how many were in one tote, just kind of guesstimated how many figures I had. And I just threw out a number and she was like, I'll take them. And so she bought every friggin' Star Wars figure that I had.
I know.
I was just like, this could not have gone any better.
I'm sitting over there going, oh, dang.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
I got a plan for next time.
Exactly. Because, yeah, not only did I clear out all those figures that had just been taking up space for years in my collection, but I got some money out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I never expected to get money out of them. So I was so happy. I was so happy. That was great.
Yeah.
And, like, she's a dealer, too, so I'm sure they've probably got a store or something that they're just building inventory. But at least, you know, they'll go back and they'll take care and, you know, handle it however it needs to be handled. And
yeah.
Collectors will get a hold of them, so... That all works for me. I got out of it when I needed. So, yeah. But overall, I think I did pretty well because I had just a random assortment of stuff.
Well, yeah, it was like the most random, bizarre. Because it was just clearing out whatever we had that we didn't want.
Yeah, I had like some old Harry Potter figures and some Austin Powers figures and just a bunch of random stuff like that. And
well, the same guy bought all those.
Yeah, yeah.
The like, guy and his wife.
Came up and bought all the Harry Potter stuff and the Austin Powers figures. I mean, like, people were buying it all. I was real surprised. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I was just like, man, the toy shows are the way to do this. Because some of that stuff you'd throw up on eBay and you'd never sell it.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd end up paying more money listing things on eBay than you would. It's just not worth it to make your money back, which is always what's kept me from trying to sell a lot of that stuff. So... Now I'm like, yep, if I ever have to clean house again, I'm going to a toy show.
Yeah, I was surprised what sold and what didn't, because I thought like the dealers would be on like the Fisher-Price stuff, mm-hmm. and I brought my Mark's playset, which I really thought, because there's a guy that always sets up who's always got like a ton of Mark stuff.
Right.
And I really thought, you know, at least maybe, because I had a fair chunk of money on it, but it's a rare playset, you know?
Right,
and I thought someone would come up and make an offer or something, but everyone kept coming up. Going, oh, this is that really rare playset, or which playset is this? And they show like a lot of interest, and then they leave.
Yep. I know, that's funny. Like, everybody thought it was cool, and they wanted to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to talk numbers. Yeah, nobody wanted to buy it.
It was like, come on. I really thought a dealer would be like, oh, I know what that is, and like, scoop it up.
Right. That might be one of those things that you bring, like, you know, again, and just wait for the right person.
Right moment.
Yeah, the right person will stumble upon it and go, oh.
Well, that was the thing, is like early on, like, cause you had the bins out front and you were like, and I said, you know, it's kind of ironic cause it's like set up. You need a Dan to come along who loves to dig through bins.
Yes. Yes.
And you got him taken care of. And I was like, where's my Dave?
Yeah.
Who comes along and like sees that thing and goes, oh, that's not a bargain, but it's not stupid expensive either. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's cheaper than if I tried to get it on eBay or from like a dealer that knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
nope,
there
was no Dave.
That's exactly what I was. I was totally the dealer that I like to find.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to throw all this stuff out here. I'm going to put really low prices on it because I don't care. I just want to get it out of here.
My prices were like half and half. Because initially I had like somewhat realistic prices on them. Like still low, but realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then about, I think after I saw, because we also sold stuff for Jason.
Right.
I saw the way he was marking everything. It was like, everything must go. 50 cents, quarter. It's like, oh, okay. So there was like the before prices and the after prices. And I will say the after prices moved a lot faster.
Right, right. Well, I think it's funny, too. We both kind of, you could tell we were both getting desperate just to get rid of things
at the end,
we were both just lowering prices down like crazy, just trying to get rid of things. And I was making deals. Every time somebody walked to my table, I was looking at something. I was like, if you buy all these.
Buy all these, yeah.
I'll give them to you for a way lower price. And it worked a lot of times.
That's how I got rid of my Legos.
Yeah. Yep. So that was fun. It was a cool experience. Like you said, it is different being on the other side of the table.
Well, the other thing that you suddenly realize and you feel bad, it's like the old classic, when someone's giving you like a pressure or whatever and you go, I'll come back. Let me come back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that happened.
And they never come back.
They never come back. We know, but yep, we knew.
Yeah.
We knew exactly
what
they were doing.
It was like, oh. So this is how they feel when I do that to them.
Oh, that's funny. But we also know now, like, what it's like to, like, just want to get rid of everything.
Yes.
Because at the end, it was just like, somebody please just come over and take all the rest of the things that are sitting on this. I don't want to go home with
anything.
We don't
want to ship this stuff home. We want to come home empty.
Yeah.
Although I did. When I got home, I sent Jason a picture of his tote, which was, like, almost completely empty.
Yeah,
like a couple
yeah.
things. And then a picture of my totes, which two of them were empty. I mean, technically, one was had stuff in it, but it was, you know, stuff that I bought. So I cleared that out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, it was just kind of cool to, like, see, you know, because I brought, like, three totes.
Right.
And, like, maybe, well, the playset took up a bunch of space. But other than that, it was like, really empty. So, I mean, we really unloaded a lot of stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah, because at the beginning, we were really fighting over
space
on that
table.
We only
had one table.
Yeah, and we kept rearranging things and trying to find the best way to put stuff out there, especially since there was a couple big things, like that My Little Pony playset that just seemed like it was, no matter where it was just taking
up way too much
room. And then, you know, we started selling things, and it was just like, by the end of the show.
Yeah, that was the irony. Is it started out, we were fighting to, like cram stuff in, and by the end, we were fighting to spread stuff out.
Spread it out, to make it look like we still had a whole table, because we had gone through so much. So, yeah, man, I think it was quite a successful venture.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool.
And like you said, you briefly mentioned, a lot of fans came up and talked to me, too, which I thought was awesome. I sold a couple T-shirts. And I autographed somebody's Mosquitor, which I always try to talk people out of that when they do it. I'm like, are you sure you want me to ruin your figure with my signature? Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Look, the cool one was the little kid with a lunchbox.
Yes, a little kid came up who apparently loves my videos, and he had an old Masters of the Universe lunchbox, and he asked me to autograph it for him, and I ended up giving him a T-shirt.
I was going
to
say, like, you thought about, like, he left, and you thought about it for a second. You're like, I'm giving him a T-shirt.
Yeah, gave him a T-shirt, and he put it on right away. Since I gave it to him, and then his dad took a picture of us. So I love that so much.
Yeah.
I love it when it's the kids, man. That always gets to me. But yeah, it was really cool. Met a lot of nice people, and everybody, you know.
The dealers were really nice too.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Some cool dealers.
Absolutely.
Because I felt bad because I had some Hot Wheels stuff that I just wanted to dump. Because the story is we have this local character named Al, who's a Hot Wheels guy, and he just got on my last nerve about a year ago. I think more than a year ago now, because. You know, he's always convinced that everybody's getting his hunts. And there's this other friend of mine named Jay, and he was convinced Jay was getting his hunts, which he kind of was, but he's like, you tell that Jay to stop getting my hunts, or I'm going to start going after the stuff you like. I'm going to start going after action figures, you Star Wars. And I'm like, I'm not Jay's boss. I don't control him.
Right.
And it hit me the wrong way, and I'm like, you know what? You go ahead. You buy all the Star Wars you want, because Star Wars figures cost like $10 a pop.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels cost
$1. For somebody who's used to buying Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, go ahead.
You go ahead, and you try to figure out which ones to buy, because I'm willing to bet that I can get all the Star Wars I want between all the stores we have in town.
Right.
And, you know, hunts are like one per every other case.
Right.
So I just started buying hunts. And like... I just started buying hunts, and I have a pantry in the kitchen. I was just stacking them up. I mean, I wasn't doing anything with them.
Yeah.
And then at Christmas time, I would like fill up a bag and take it to Walmart where they had those bins for Toys for Tots or whatever.
Yeah.
I would just dump bags of treasure hunts. Didn't matter if they were supers or whatever. Just bags of hunts in there.
Wow. Awesome.
And I still had hunts left over this year. They've switched now so that like they don't have the obvious green stripe and it's harder to find.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that anymore. But I still had a bunch of hunts. So I was like, I'll bring them down to the show and sell them for like $3 a pop.
Yeah.
And of course, we were set up right next to this guy who's like, his whole livelihood seems to be Hot Wheels.
We were between two car people.
We had
the lady on the other side was all Matchbox.
Matchbox,
stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I feel like a jerk competing with this guy. But he's the guy who bought most of my hunts eventually, so.
Right. Well, there you go. See,
yeah.
And that helps him out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I know. I always feel kind of bad, too, with all the car people. Like, there's a lot of car people at the Toy Man Show, but there doesn't ever seem to be as many car buyers at the Toy Man
Someone
Show.
Someone said that to the guy sitting next to me. He was like, I thought this was going to be more of a car show than, like, I can't remember, like figures.
Yeah.
Or I can't remember what he called them. He didn't call them action figures. He called them like statues or something. Something weird.
Yeah.
Figurines.
Figurines. Yeah.
Figurines.
Now, it's mostly a figures, toys and figure show.
Yeah.
And that's mostly what people are there looking for. But there's always those guys scattered around. There's always the one or two guys who just have like the older Mark stuff and everything.
Yeah.
And there's a couple guys who have Hot Wheels and Matchbox and stuff. And I always feel bad for them because they always look like they're just sitting there with nobody going up to their tables.
Well, the guy sitting like directly opposite us was like, kind of sitting there twiddling his thumbs for most of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, we were like that sometimes, but we were pretty busy. I was actually
we were busy, and then it slowed down, and then it was busy,
yeah.
And then it got kind of frantic towards the end.
It did get a little frantic for a while because we just had so many people, it was hard to keep track of who I was talking to. I remember that one point where those kids kept pulling things out of my dollar bins,
yeah,
and, like, walking off, and then, like, somebody would give you a dollar for it and you'd, yeah, hand it over to me, and I'm just like, where is this coming from? I don't even know who's buying things right now, but okay.
I know. It was actually, I think it went fairly smoothly considering that we, you know, you and I were at the same table and we had Jason's stuff.
Right.
I think, because, you know, people didn't know, but
yeah,
I think it went smoothly. Like, there was never really, like, you know, well, whose money is this?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and we had it, I mean, everything was labeled well, so we,
yeah,
and we knew whose stuff was whose.
Yeah.
So it went very well, I thought. I kept, like, kind of a little bit of an inventory.
Yeah,
of what
you did
I
a
was.
Way better job. I had my whole coordination was there was the Jason pocket and the Dave pocket.
There you go.
Basically,
I only did it because I wanted to know how much money I had actually earned at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's why I did it. So
I sort of knew because I knew how much money I brought.
Right.
And obviously, I didn't bring any money for Jason, so, like,
right,
his was real easy to total up.
Awesome.
But, yeah, so I kind of knew roughly how much I had brought in change and, you know.
Yeah. Cool. So when you were walking around, did you see anything, like, that really stood out to you?
No, not really. You had said there was a table with a bunch of dinosaur stuff, and so that's what I was
there
really
was.
Looking for.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was nothing. The one thing that I really got excited about was, as I was sitting there, I could, like, look way down. I saw this one table had, like, a big set of shelves, and on the top was this one G.I. Joe vehicle that's always been on my list to get, and it was in the box. So when you did your walk around, I was like, can you go check out and see what that's, you know, what they're asking for? And you're like, you came back, you said it was $15. I'm like, take the money, go.
Yep. So I ran over there and grabbed that. I was so worried, like, as I was walking over there fighting the crowds, because that was during, like, the busiest part of the day.
Yeah.
So, like, there were just people everywhere, and even though it was an aisle away, it felt like it took me forever to get back over there. And I'm like, please don't let somebody pick that thing up and buy it before I get back over there with Dave's money.
Because it had been there all day, man. I'm just like, taunting me.
Yeah, and that guy was like, well, that's my show special. It's only $15. And I was like, that seems like a pretty
good
price.
It was complete. It had the figure. The figure had his little gun. I mean, it was really
good. Yeah,
he
said
deal.
It had, like, the instruction manuals and everything in the box.
Oh, it had this really cool, I don't know what it is, like this big fold-out poster thing that's like some kind of game or something. It's like, or a contest. It's like pick your crew to man the Defiant.
Oh.
And, like, you fill out, like, the Joes you would like to send up into space to, like, for the space mission. It's this huge poster thing. It's like, that is so cool.
That is cool.
It was super cool. I've never heard of that before.
That is so awesome. Man, I love stuff like that.
I do too.
That's like, I bought my boxed item that I bought was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cheapskate.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I thought it was really cool. I wanted to get it for a little cheaper than I did, but
I still
paid a good price for it, I think, because the box is in great shape, and it had been opened, but it was complete, and it had the instruction manuals and everything on the inside, and I just, you know, I love the vintage box stuff.
Yeah.
I love the artwork. I didn't have that vehicle already, so it was a good buy for me. I was happy with it. Then I just picked up a couple I found a couple of loose Star Trek figures in a bag for $3, like Playmates ones.
Yeah.
It was like Kirk and Spock and Uhura and an Orion slave
yeah.
girl. Yep. And it was only $3 for all four figures, and they had all their weapons and
that was one thing that you told me was you noticed there was a lot of Star Trek stuff out this time around.
There really was. Everybody was cashing in because of that movie. So there was Star Trek stuff everywhere, and aside from that bag that I bought for $3, most of it was priced a lot higher than it normally is at toy shows. So you could tell that everybody brought out all their Star Trek stuff and increase the price a little bit, hoping to catch some of that, you know, the buzz from the
buzz,
movie. Yeah, so that happens. That's a trend at toy shows. We always
I did notice a lot more Joe stuff kind of around, too.
Yeah. Yep, so that happens. Except nobody wanted to buy that roadblock that was on my table.
No, well, no, nobody did.
No. the talking roadblock.
You did go home with that, didn't you?
I went home with the talking roadblock. I have him still.
Well, there's always next time.
Yep. Somebody wanted it eventually. The only other thing that I saw there that really stood out to me, and I told you about these, is there was this table.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, this guy always has really cool vintage knockoff-y kind of toys. He had three Speclatron figures. And if you've never heard of Speclatron before, that's not surprising, because yeah. most people haven't. I hadn't heard about it until just probably about a year ago or so.
Well, all you had to do was say Remco, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
I don't remember if it actually is Remco or it's a Remco-like line, but...
Remco knockoff!
It's one of these... It's one of those... It's one of those Masters of the Universe knockoffs.
Concept.
Yeah, right? Not a knockoff of Remco.
A Remco knockoff.
So it's a Masters of the Universe type toy line, so they're shaped exactly the same stances, same kind of crazy character ideas, but their torsos are translucent plastic and they're filled with liquid and glitter. So, like, you know, you shake them and the glitter kind of rolls around in them, and they are just really cool looking figures. Super rare, because I wouldn't be surprised if most of them broke or something as kids, you know,
and, or leaked out.
So you just never see these things anywhere. This guy had three of them. They were loose, but they were in great shape. They had their shields and their weapons. They were very clean. Very nice looking. He had the one that I really like, which is like this purple skeleton guy who's got purple glitter in his chest. But he wanted $250 a piece for the figures, which is so expensive. I mean, I understand why he was charging that much. Oh, I would have loved so much to just walk home with one of those. I remember I even walked back to the table and explained to you what they were.
I was like, do it.
Yeah,
do
you
it.
Were like, well, you just made all that
do
money
it,
on the stuff.
Exactly, man.
Dave's trying to talk me into it.
Well, Jason wasn't there to give bad advice, so somebody had to.
Like, I just cleared out 80 Star Wars figures. I'll trade all that for one Speclatron figure.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, that's what... I mean, Jason's been burning his whole collection just to, like, get a couple of Filmation figures.
Ghostbusters figures, yeah. I'm hoping that eventually one day I'm just going to find one of those Speclatrons out in the wild, just, like, in a bin or something.
In a bin or in a garage sale.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Because I'd like to get those, but I can't just be throwing
them. I never have that kind of... That's why I throw money around, because I never find those garage sales.
Very rarely.
I find the garage sales with, like, you know, used clothing and, you know...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, one broken He-Man figure.
Right.
You know, I don't find the ones with, like, oh, look, it's every vintage Transformer with all their weapons for, like... $2 for the entire box. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Fortress Maximus. Woohoo!
Yeah, that very rarely happens.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
Well, toy hunting, you know, I was thinking the other day, toy hunting is kind of like fishing, where, you know, you go out and, you know, you usually don't get anything and you just got to keep kind of at it.
Exactly.
Eventually you land the big one.
That is a good metaphor.
Yeah, I think so.
Very good metaphor.
I have my moments.
Just kind of do it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
If we land the big deal, then it's even better and it's even more fun.
Yeah, it's a Zen thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I like that.
Yeah. Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Yay, fan questions. Oh, and they saw you coming.
They saw me coming?
They saw you coming, but...
A bunch of...
There's a bunch of Masters questions.
Oh, good. I love Masters.
I know you do. So do I. Well, you know, the funny thing is... Because I'm glad I have you here for this, because you're the one person who would probably really get this. Because the thing is, it's like the whole thing with you and Transformers.
Right.
Where it's not that you didn't like it, it just wasn't like your passion and you didn't know about it. But
totally.
The fans immediately went, why do you hate Transformers so much?
I know, right? It's
and
still
so you just
happens.
Like, you sort of like, you just sort of end up playing the role of the guy who hates
right.
that toy line, you know?
Well, because you get to a point where you just like, you're so tired of explaining to the people, it's not that I don't hate, you know, it's not that I don't like it, I just don't have a connection to it.
Yeah,
you
I don't
love
it.
You only say
that
so many times before it's just like, you know what, because I just hate him.
Yeah, screw him, man. He's a jerk.
Because it just gets asked over and over again. I still get asked constantly. Like, people say, how come you never do Transformers reviews? Why do you hate them? What? I don't not do Transformers reviews because I hate Transformers. I don't really collect them.
Yeah.
I don't have them. I'm sorry.
And just, you know.
I think that some of them are very cool.
And it's like I don't have the knowledge or the history with He-Man. So, you know, like, when you guys would talk about it, you know, it was more like I felt left out because it's like,
yeah,
I can't contribute because I don't know, you know. And when I would throw something in, like, half the time you're like, well, actually, Dave, it's like, well, okay, I don't know.
I totally get it.
It's
totally
like whenever I would hit that one period of G.I. Joe, and there would always be somebody who'd be like, well, you know, actually, in 1995, they released this figure, so what you said was incorrect.
Yeah, see, I can...
Screw the new sculpt era. I hate you all.
Well, there you go. You could do the same thing to me with G.I. Joe or Transformers, probably. I bet you know more about Transformers than I know about Transformers. Anybody can school me in that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no. It was just, you know...
Yeah.
So it was like... It was just like... It was not my favorite thing to talk about, but I didn't... I don't really hate He-Man. And I've said a couple times, I think for what it was a really cool, inventive toy line.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like my role now. I got to be hate or disor or whatever. So whatever. I love the He-Mans.
Yeah.
Let's never speak of them again.
I love the Transformers.
Okay, so our first question is from TMC 1984.
Yeah.
Hey, D&D. Still works. First off, thanks for discussing the 87 Masters of the Universe movie last week. I geeked out. That movie means a lot to me. My question is, what are your opinions of the Visionaries line? Do you own any? Another semi-forgotten line that only lasted one wave and had a second wave in the can that unfortunately never got to see the light of day. The cartoon that accompanied the line was actually pretty sophisticated in terms of dialogue, for its time at least, so it's kind of a wonder that these lines just fade away. My dilemma is, how can a toy line that lasted for one wave and a cartoon that lasted for 13 episodes be justified by a... How can a toy line be justified a modern-day DVD release? Either way, I'm thankful. Anyway, it made an impact on me, and my carded figure set is the pride of my collection.
Oh, you got them carded. Yeah, sweet. I can imagine that would be a pride.
Yeah.
I never had any of those as a kid. I never watched the cartoon. That's one of those lines I kind of discovered as a collector and was like, those look cool. I like holograms.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get some. But I only own like two figures in one of the vehicles. And I've never really...
The vehicles always looked really super cool.
Yeah, I've got
one of
those.
If I were going to collect any of them, I would collect like the vehicles,
and
I think.
And the reason I've got it is because it was actually sent to me as a gift one year at Christmas. So that's how I actually got the vehicle.
Yeah.
Really cool line. Hard to get with like the holograms still on the figures, which is kind of annoying. And it's kind of an expensive line to collect. It's one of those ones that's just not that cheap. So
well, I think the oddball ones that didn't really go very far tend to be more expensive because now people want it for nostalgia reasons.
Right.
You know.
That seems to be
And
the
there's
case.
Not there's not as many there's not as many of them out there.
Right.
Like with Star Wars or with G.I. Joe, there's billions of those.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and hundreds of waves.
Exactly.
You know, I think they would still probably do a DVD of the at this point, probably a Blu-ray of the cartoon, because I think they'll do Blu-rays of everything. You know, like someone like Shout Factory will do it just for the nostalgia factor alone.
I was going to say, they've released tons of cartoons that I never would have thought would have gotten released on DVD, so I don't think there's, hope's not out the window for Visionaries.
No, I mean, it's more like it's just probably its time hasn't come yet.
Exactly. Maybe there's some kind of weird licensing thing that somebody's trying to work out
that
or
could
something.
Be, yeah.
Like, you never know with that stuff.
All right, are you comfortable?
Yeah.
You sure?
Oh, this is the big one.
Okay. Oz Muerte says, since we have a Masters guy as co-host this week, I figure it's only fitting to ask Masters-related questions. Sorry, Dave. See? Hey, door. So in the classic multi-part essay question format from the merry old land of Oz, here goes. 1. Apparently obtaining movie rights is obtrusive, but then why did we get a cosmic key with Preternia He-Man that looked closer to the film version of the vintage toy that came with Gwildor? Beyond that, there's been various guns, like Battleground Teela's and Captain Glenn's, that were taken from the film, and I don't see any lawsuits popping up.
Okay.
So, Pixel Dan, what's the deal?
I wish I had a real answer for you, but my answer is I don't know. I have no idea what the actual licensing issue is with Mattel and the motion picture. We were kind of discussing this a little bit before the show. I don't know if... I would assume that there's part of it would have to be likeness rights, with especially Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Because the reason they can do Blade and Gwildor and Sarad already is because they were released in the vintage toy line.
Yeah.
But also, if they release new figures of those, they're not going to look like the actors unless they got actor likenesses. Because the vintage toys don't look like the actors.
Yeah.
You know, they just look like characters. I mean, that's not such a big deal for Sarad, but, you know, the new Gwildor figure... probably won't look like Billy Barty. It'll look
Billy Barty had a lot of prosthetics on, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know if that's part of the problem or what exactly. Maybe it's the movie studio that they're still trying to work out the rights for. But it might be just something as simple as the little things like the weapons and stuff. Maybe the studio just doesn't know to look for something like that to get mad about it, or maybe they just don't care about something that small and trivial.
Well, and lawsuits
are
expensive, too. I mean, like, going to war over something like that probably isn't very smart.
Right, exactly. And some of that stuff, like, I don't know. This is just me being speculative, too. But, you know, there was, like, comic books based on the motion picture and stuff, and... I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason they can get away with some of the stuff if they've got rights to the comics or something. Of course, I think Marvel did those, and I don't think they've got to deal with Marvel right now. So I don't know. I'm just kind of talking out loud right now. I really have no idea. It's a good question. I just don't have a good solid answer for you.
Speaking of questions about the movie, if the movie rights remain unattainable, then wouldn't it be easier for Mattel to pursue the rights to Stout's library of pre-pro artwork? I assume it means pre-production.
Yeah.
And make toys of that, since they love doing concept characters like Vicron. We would kind of get the battle armor version of She-Ra that Stout drew that was never in the film.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm going to jump in here because I want to answer questions too.
Go for it. Jump in.
The pre-production art has to be the property of the studio. I mean, that's always the way it is.
And Mattel is real weird about not doing figures based off of production art if they aren't in possession of that artwork.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason that they've said that they won't do any figures based on the stuff that appeared in the Tomarts issue, because they don't have any of that artwork. And same with the Power and the Honor catalog. They won't do any of that stuff because none of that stuff's in their possession. And they claim it's a legal thing where they can't actually prove that that was done by a Mattel employee because they don't have the artwork to say it.
Yeah.
And from a legal aspect, it does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
I can understand why Mattel would kind of be a little leery of something like that, because you never know. Like, they might assume, and then they might have this artist pop up out of nowhere that can show proof that it wasn't a Mattel thing, and it was his thing, and then Mattel's got to deal with that. So I understand why they might be iffy to do it. And like you said, as far as a movie pre-production goes, that would definitely be in the hands of the studio, not Mattel. So.
And again, it's one of those things, it's like, is it worth it for a character? Because, you know, every time... It's, you know, the running gag is anything they do, there's some faction that's angry about it. But the more obscure stuff, you know, it seems like less people like it.
The concept figures have probably had the most negative response to any of the other stuff released. So I could totally see that.
Yeah,
being
so I mean,
things.
Why jump through the hoops for something that, like, a small portion of the fandom's gonna like?
I feel like that would make more people mad than anything, because they'd feel like they were close to getting the movie figures, but they didn't get the movie figures, and instead they got these silly concept figures. I could totally see the posts saying things just like that, so.
Number three. Aside from this, when people speculate on which movie figures they want to see, why does no one ever seem to mention Karg? Am I not the only one who wants a Karg to complete the mercenary group?
I'm going to say that you're wrong, because he's probably one of the most fan-demanded characters from the motion picture that hasn't been released. So he has been brought up a lot.
I have no idea who Karg is.
Have you seen the motion
picture?
I've
seen the movie.
Okay,
yeah.
He's like the white-haired weird alien thing who's actually the
leader.
He's like basically...
I thought that was Beastman.
Now, Beastman's like the brown... I don't know, he's one of the guys that's under Karg. Like, Karg commands Beastman, Sarad, and Blade in their little attack.
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I do remember that guy.
Yeah, Karg is one of those characters that people constantly say, why did we never get a Karg figure in the old line? Let's get a Karg figure. So, people do want it. You are definitely not the only one.
Why is it whenever the names of characters not yet produced in Masters of the Universe Classics are mentioned in a certain form, they are quickly shot down by other members, and I read the same statement over and over that there's way more important characters that we need to get to first? Apparently, the likes of Extendar, Too Bad, Modulak and Multibot, Mantenna, Ninjor, the list goes on, he actually says. They're apparently all, quote, unimportant characters that we need to ignore in favor of whom exactly?
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but this next year is supposed to be very vintage figure heavy, where they're supposed to be finishing out all of those characters. And you listed Mantenna, but Mantenna's already been announced. He's coming. Was that one of the ones?
Yeah,
he
listed Mantenna.
Yeah, so
Mantenna, Ninjor, Dragstor, Real Blast.
Mantenna's coming. Some of those guys are going to be tougher, because at the end of the old vintage line, all of those figures started getting completely unique sculpts.
Yeah, I was going to say, like Modulok is going to...
Modulok, Multibot, Extendar, a lot of those guys were fully unique sculpts, and that's going to cause a problem under the Classics formula.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, honestly, if you really look at the figures that have been released compared to the list of figures in the Vintage line, we are so freaking close to having all of those characters. Like, there are... I looked at the list recently, and we are, like, three characters away from having all of the Vintage Heroic Warriors released. Hmm. Like, there's, like, three or four left. It's, like, Extendar...
Rio Blast, apparently.
Rio Blast, Extendar, and there's one or two others. And villains isn't far behind. There's probably five or six villains that haven't been released. So we are, like, so stinking close to having all of those done.
Yeah.
And so I would just say, like, you know, hold out hope, because I'm sure within this next
keep
year
hope
or
alive.
So, yep, we'll have them.
Last time you were here, you gave your thoughts on how you'd like a new Masters of the Universe movie done. With all the mentioning of Hero Son of He-Man in the line, and now King He-Man is a figure, is it possible the new film could end up being a sequel/reboot similar to the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, in that it would be set after the events of what we grew up with, yet have a similar storyline, with possibly Dolph reprising the role of now King He-Man, and story focusing around Hero and his exploits, starring an unknown actor in the lead?
I don't know how I feel about that.
No,
I,
that would be like that would be I like them doing a G.I. Joe movie, and it's like, I'm old Duke, here's my son.
Yeah, I don't think it would go over well. I mean, the whole purpose of doing these movies, honestly, isn't going to be for us, but it's going to be to try to introduce a new generation to Masters of the Universe so they could sell more toys.
Well, I think it's splitting the difference. It's playing on nostalgia and name recognition,
yes,
but also bringing it into the new age and for
the
kids.
You're definitely right. So I think that throwing a movie out there called Hero Son of He-Man is just going to, like, the 10 of us fans who know who Hero Son of He-Man is.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everybody else is going to be like, what is this?
That's like a G.I. Joe movie with new sculpt era characters. And you're like, well, since Blackout was apparently the 13th figure in the subscription thing, I'm like, oh, weak. Like, it's Barrel Roll and Bomb Strike and Blackout. And you're like, what?
Right.
Where's Duke? Where's Flint? Where's Roadblock?
Yeah, so I don't think that's the right way to go, for sure.
And finally, yes, finally, he said that, going along with the idea of a new film being a possible reboot or sequel, do you think this is where many of the 2012 fan-created characters could end up?
I don't know. I really don't know if they're going to do any of those figures on those fan-created characters.
I don't know. I think they've moved on.
I think so, too. Honestly, I think that ship has kind of sailed. Because they kind of said that they weren't going to do any of the other ones, you know? Like, they wanted to keep Castle Grayskull Man unique in the fact that he won the contest, so he was the only one that was actually going to get a figure. So I don't think they're going to do anything with the rest of those guys. I don't know.
Which is a shame, because there were some really good ones.
There were some good ones.
Oz actually created one of my favorite ones,
yep,
which is Gangstar.
I loved Bublor. Or whatever his name was, the bubble guy.
Yeah.
He was really cool looking. But I don't know.
That would have been cool for a vintage figure with, like, a bubble mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. Maybe they'll do, like, a book or something at some point where they'll, like, release image, like, you know, the artwork or something. But I don't think we'll ever see him in action figure form.
Yeah. All right. So our next question comes from Yoda Soup. It says, hey, fellas, what would you say is your favorite carded figure in your collection? Last week I got a carded Daggett from the 70s Mattel Battlestar Galactica line for only $10, which has quickly become one of my favorite pieces in my collection.
Awesome.
Also, there's a two-part question, but what's your favorite carded figure?
Favorite carded figure, it's kind of tough. I don't have a lot of carded, I do have a lot of carded figures, but, you know, as you guys know, I'm a loose figure collector, so I open everything. I do have a carded Boba Fett. It's just one of the Power of the Force Boba Fetts, but I got it autographed by Jeremy Bullock when
met
him.
Oh, cool.
So that's got a special... Obviously, a special place in my collection, just because I think that's really cool. I guess that's probably the coolest thing that I have, as far as carded figures go. I do have a lot of carded Ninja Turtle stuff now that I really like, and I do have a carded Mutagen Man, and he was my favorite figure in the line. My hope is that I can get a carded Vintage Mosquitor at some point, and then that will be my favorite carded figure in my collection. But he is very expensive to get carded.
I would imagine.
One of these days, I'm going to buy that figure, though. I want one carded.
Probably my favorite carded figure, surprise, surprise, is Bossk. I have a carded AFA graded, actually, Bossk from Return of the Jedi. So it's not the Empire one, but, you know.
Still,
like, there's only so much money you can throw on at one time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I generally, since we're kind of on the subject, this is kind of going to touch on Andy's follow-up question, but I would love to have the space and the money to do carded stuff and box mm-hmm. stuff, but I don't have either, so stuff gets displayed loose and bought loose whenever possible.
Right.
Also, especially with, like, vintage stuff, it's like I almost hate buying carded vintage stuff because it's like, I don't really have the room to display it.
Yeah.
I hate putting stuff into storage. I feel like that's a failure on my part.
Yeah.
Like, why did I buy this thing just to put it in a closet?
Yeah. Yep.
And opening it, you feel like you're committing vandalism. The woman who bought your Star Wars figures, the last Toy Man, I said this on the show, she had all these Captain Power figures mm-hmm. for, like, cheap. And I was buying them, and she's like, are you going to open those? I'm like, yeah, sorry. She's like, oh. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't have room to display them otherwise. So I do. I feel bad because I love old card art. I love old box art. I think it's gorgeous. I was talking to Sean, my friend, today about the card art for the next round of subscription figures. Is kind of, I mean, I'm sure they did the best they could, but I mean, it doesn't look as slick and well done as the vintage stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I love vintage Star Wars. I love vintage G.I. Joe card art. It's just gorgeous to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I spent a fortune on the I'm kind of glad that the vintage line is sort of dying down for Star Wars, because that's one of those lines I did buy two of everything, because I bought one to open, and I would buy one to put up on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was buying, like, protective cases for the carded figures. It's
hard,
like,
to open those, because some of those are so cool.
I know. I just love that old style art.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the second part, which is, we all know that Dan's favorite Master Yoda figure from the vintage line is, oh, so who's my favorite? He goes, I always have loved Tongue Lasher, even though I've never owned one, and Merman. Tongue Lasher probably is up there, because he's just cool. We were talking about that once.
Yep. The Snake Man, it looks like a poison dart frog.
Yeah, he looks like a poison dart frog. I was at our friend David Perdue's house looking at his collection, and I'd never seen him. The guides that I have, the Master stuff, is in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably never even looked at him that closely anyway.
Right.
But I saw him just sitting there, and it was like he really popped. And it's like, oh, that's a neat little guy.
Yeah.
I like him. I like Rattlore. I think Rattlore's kind of cool. I've been trying to track down. I finally tracked down a Classics Rattlore.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's a great figure, too.
That's a very cool
figure.
That's
one of the best ones they've done, I think.
Yeah. So, I would say, yeah, the two Snake guys. And then Andy Mort, give him credit, we kind of talked about it, where he goes, to follow up on Yoda Super's question, I know you guys are more inclined to open your toys, but do either of you have a piece that you've opened? Oh, that you've opened and you wish you left the packaging. He talks about, he had a Comic-Con exclusive Captain America from the Marvel Universe that was black and white and looked like it was, you know, frozen in ice.
Uh-huh.
And he opened it up. And he's also, he's got the Iron Man 2/3-pack with Iron Man, War Machine, and Black Widow. Because the packaging looks like Machine, and it's taking the guy's helmets off. He doesn't want to open that up. I opened mine. But, so is there anything you open up and went, oh, I wish I had not done that?
I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I know there have been things in the past where I couldn't resist the urge, and I opened it, and then after I opened it, I was like, ugh, this is not as cool out of the box as it is in the box. But I can't think of any specific examples right now. I did open, and this is not such a big deal, because I do like it when there's figures that you can kind of open and play with and then still put them back in their package.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, a good example of that is the DC Universe Classics Wonder Twins pack.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did rip those open and then realized I liked them much better in that cool little box that they come in.
Yeah.
So I put them right back in that box, and that's how they're actually displayed on my shelf, just because, I don't know, I like it where they're posed.
Yeah, it's cool.
The doing the Wonder Twin powers. I don't know. Do you have anything?
I can't think of anything offhand. I'm sure there have been items that I opened up, and, like, I just didn't like that much. And then afterwards, like, oh, well, now that's worth a lot of money. That stinks. Yeah. I wish I had kept that. Nah, I really, you know, I don't. I try not to play that game. If I open something, I make that commitment and walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything else I can think of. I guess maybe if something ever dawns on me, I'll bring it back up.
We'll bring it back, yeah. And finally, Reardon says, hey, guys, do you have any toys / action figures from your youth that you still have to this day? If so, what would they be?
I do. I have a very small handful of my Masters of the Universe figures that I kept. because for whatever reason, as a kid, I decided I was going to sell them all in a garage sale. And somebody totally did the same thing to me at that. That happened at this Toy Man show. One person walked up and bought my entire tote of Masters of the Universe figures from me when I was like 11 years old or however old I was when I decided I didn't need toys anymore. But I kept like four or five figures out of that box. It was Flying Fists He-Man, Scareglow, Mosquitor, Sarad.
Sounds like you kept the right ones.
And that might have been it. I think it was just those four. Those are the four that I kept. And I still have those same four in my collection. So you can tell which ones were like some of my favorites. Scareglow and Mosquitor. I mean, I kept those. And I always liked Sarad from the movie.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason I kept Flying Fist He-Man is because he's the one with the shiny silver armor. I was like, oh, shiny things.
Shiny.
So I kept that one. So, and the story I've always told before, too, is when I was a kid, I used Scareglow as Skeletor because I thought he was cooler looking than Skeletor.
Ah.
So that's probably why I was like, I'll keep this He-Man because he's shiny, and I'll keep this version of Skeletor because he's cool looking. And then I kept Mosquitor and Sarad. Other than that, I have all my G.I. Joes still that I had, even though I didn't have very many. And I have all of my Toy Biz X-Men figures still.
Oh, cool.
All of those.
I have, like, actually my Transformers, like, all my vintage Transformers, like, most of them are ones I had as a kid. Because that line really started cooking right about when I was a little too old to be buying toys, but mm-hmm. I still kind of was. So, like, Devastator, Bruticus, a chunk of Predaking. I ended up going back and finishing Predaking, but I had a couple of those. But a lot of my vintage stuff for Transformers were from when I was a kid. And that's why they're actually, I still got all their, like with Devastator, I have everything. Like, all the little tiny guns, all the little pieces, because I never really played with them.
Right.
You know, I was a little too old, and he wasn't really that great, but I mean, you know, so it just got put in storage right away. So I have all those pieces. I have a few vintage Star Wars figures. Not a lot. And then a chunk of the G.I. Joes. You know, the flag was something I had as a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that...
Yeah, I didn't keep any of my play sets. Didn't keep none of my Turtles. I think we gave my entire Ninja Turtles collection to another kid in the neighborhood, which sucks. That hurts. That hurts thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, I know my Star Wars stuff was left in another kid's garage. And I just never bothered to pick it up.
Oh, man. Like, that's awful. Yeah. I do have my original Teddy Ruxpin.
Cool.
I still have that. Same one I had as a kid. Yeah, most of my stuff, though, it's gone. Some things I just literally have no idea where they went. Like, sometimes I think back at things and I'm like, I had this as a kid. What happened to that? Because I can't remember specifically.
Yeah.
If it went up into the attic and vanished forever, if it got... We did a lot of garage sales when I was a kid, so that's probably where most of my stuff ended up. And I think anything that we didn't sell at garage sales, my mom probably just hauled off to Goodwill and stuff. So.
Yeah. I think that probably happened. I think a lot of stuff got thrown away here, too.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, well, that's it for fan questions. And now it is time for our good buddy A. Dos Barron and Thoughts with A. Dos Barron.
Salutations and welcome back. For those of you just tuning in, I'm your anchor, A. Dos Barron. When it was teased just 2 weeks ago, the Monster High San Diego Comic-Con exclusive was believed to be of the arachnid variety. Well, she's been revealed in full, and for more on that story, we have with us once again our Monster High expert, Spreen Argyle.
Gah!
That doesn't sound like a rousing endorsement.
No. No, it is not. When the teaser photo was put up on the web, it was a dead giveaway that this year's exclusive would be Windona Spider. I love her name. If you are going to satirize a kleptomaniacal former Hollywood star, what better way than to give her multiple hands? To the surprise of nobody, those assumptions were proven correct, but she's not the basic Windona featuring that gorgeous outfit we had expected. Much like the 2011 exclusive of Ghoulia Yelps, in costume as her favorite superhero, Dead Fast, Windona will be following in similar fashion, dressed as Webberella. You know, part of me is glad this happened, as I do not collect the character variants. And considering how pricey the Comic-Con exclusives fetch, I have no problem passing on this one, alleviating stress on my mind and stress on my wallet. Do I feel let down? Yes. But I'm sure her standard release is forthcoming.
Well put, Spreen. Well put.
Honestly, a man who collects dolls, what is next?
What was that?
Nothing, Spreen. And we look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
As toy collectors, there are some whom have taken the hobby up later on in life. But for many of us, our toy collections are something that started in childhood, and the flame has never extinguished. Though there has to be that point, that line where we crossed from playing with them to collecting them. For yours truly, I've pinpointed that moment to 1997, when Toy Biz put out a set featuring some merry Marvel mutants. At the time, it seemed that Toy Biz was really noticing the toy collecting community, and was looking to release something to the market for those of us whom had grown up with their action figures, realizing by adding better sculpts, more articulation, and improved paint apps would help satiate our need in a market where McFarlane seemingly reigned supreme. Enter the Marvel Collector Edition box sets. Consisting of about 5 to 6 figures a set, this line was based on famous first appearances of popular Marvel teams. Prior to its release, I had seen photos of it in Toy Fair magazine, and from that moment, I knew I had to have it. The box set I speak of is the original X-Men team. Growing up on the 90s cartoon, I was a big fan of them at the time, and though I had little knowledge of the first incarnation of the group outside of the lineup, they were names I was familiar with, and the execution of these figures had me ready to run to my local Toys R Us when it came out. It was then that I realized, these aren't for playing. This is a piece to be put on display. Packaged in a black and gold box, it featured a large reproduction of the first issue cover on the front and a folding panel revealing the figures within, surrounded by clip art of the original comic panels. These figures were beyond anything Toy Biz put out at the time, and definitely not one for the kiddies. Cyclops featured a pullback visor. Marvel Girl had a rooted ponytail, though her hair was always down in that costume. Beast was huge. Angel had beautiful articulated wings. And Iceman was cast in clear ice blue plastic, then painted over in white, giving him that snowy look he had in the early days. While the sculpts were not based on the classic Kirby artwork, the costumes were accurate, and we had finally gotten figures that looked like a team with sculpts that matched up with one another. It has always been my dream that they get their own Marvel Legends wave, with Mimic being a Build-A-Figure. Come on, that would be perfect! But if not, I'm more than content with it sitting on my shelf as the centerpiece to my X-Men collection. For a story on gender diversity on the toy shelf, Pip Langestine.
Thank you, Baron. Whenever collectors ask, why don't you have more female figures in your retail lines, we're typically met with the same response of, they just don't sell as well, which tends to send us fans into a tizzy. But from a marketing and sales standpoint, in toy lines where they are also trying to sell to young boys, many of them often poo-poo the thought of adding a girl to the guys-only menagerie of figures, fearing the Batman might get cooties. There are some exceptions, myself being a prime example. Ever since the real Ghostbusters line, I took no issue adding a female to my ranks, when many my age seemingly turned up their noses at the thought. April O'Neil, Catwoman, Pink Rangers, and Princess Leia were all welcome to kick back and fight the good, and sometimes bad, fight alongside or against a collection that was already teeming with testosterone. Taking a look in the toy aisles, I still see this trend. Unless it's backed by the adult collector jala, companies are unwilling to add the girls, who in many cases kick just as much butt, if not more, than the boys. In an era where gender equality has made some large strides in the past 20 years, this one still has me scratching my head at the ignorance of some kids.
Very insightful, Pip. When we return, Mumford and Sons. Are they pirates or are they lumberjacks? You're listening to Thoughts with Ados Barry.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That about wraps it up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we do okay?
I think we did fine. You did fine.
I did good.
Yeah. I think you got a future in this whole internet toy guy biz.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. I'm gonna pursue it.
Cool.
Because Dave said I could.
I believe in you. I think you could pull this off. Guy who's selling T-shirts at the show. I appreciate you filling in for Duvall while he's off in Disney World having fun and such.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I'm glad that you guys had me back on.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's always fun.
Apparently the fans love you. They're writing multi-part questions for you.
They're too sweet.
Yeah. We got a good bunch of fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, the invitation's always open, so anytime
awesome.
You can make it.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Always happy to have you.
I'm sure this is not the last time.
I'm sure not. So that's gonna wrap it up. I'm always bad at like the ending thing. We got a lot of stuff on tap coming up in the next couple weeks. Some reviews of stuff. I'm getting back in the reviewing game. I gotta edit together a new podcast with me and Doss. We're bringing back Animated World.
Neat.
I've been sitting on that a little too long, but we're working on it. And, you know, I'm sure Duvall will come back next week with all sorts of crazy tales about Star Wars weekend Disney. Jerk.
Yep, talk about all the Disney stuff.
All the fun he had.
At least he's buying us toys.
He is buying us toys. That was nice of him. And until next time, people. Oh, that's
how do we say this?
You don't have to go home.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Tour bar's closed.
Yeah.